What's good, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Boombox Guru, music commentary and music discussion for music lovers. I'm your host, LB, and we got a very good episode for you guys today. So if you don't want to miss out, tune in and keep it locked in. Hey, what's good, everybody? Welcome to another episode, the Boombox Guru. Of course, this is your host, LB, and hoping everybody out there has had a good week. Hope everybody had a good Easter or Resurrection Sunday, you know, last Sunday. I hope everybody enjoyed that time with their family, you know what I'm saying, eating good food and whatever. I've had a pretty good week so far, no complaints. I never really have any complaints, to be honest with you, because, hey, complaining ain't going to do nothing but just make you even more angrier. But, I've had a pretty good week so far. Nothing major, except I had some plumbing issues. I had a leak under my house. And I remember, I forget what you call them, the water meter guys. You know, the people that read the water meters. I know he had came by my house maybe a week or two ago. He read my meter and he left a note on the door saying that it was reading high. And I don't know. Kind of brushed it off a little bit. I got to learn to stop brushing stuff off like that. I really do. I got to learn to stop brushing that type of stuff off. But I kind of brushed it off. But I really didn't become concerned until I got my water bill. Got my water bill and it was freaking $90. And I was like, whoa, 90 freaking bucks? So I immediately got up and I said, you know, I got to go down there and see what's going on. Because I had some plumbing issues maybe a couple of years ago and it was quite expensive for me to get it fixed. So I went down there, got the key, unlocked the crawl space door, and I looked in, and it was a freaking leak. It was quite a bit of water coming down. It was like underneath, it's where my bathroom was, where my bathroom was. It was coming down pretty steadily. It had created like a puddle, and it expanded a little bit, but not too much. So I was like, oh man, I'm about to spend more money and to get this fixed. I wonder how much this is going to cost. It was a bit of a downer for a little bit. But, you know, got the plumbers out here. I think it was Monday morning. And they came out there and they checked it. And luckily, it wasn't that big of an issue. Apparently, I think they call it PVC or something that keeps the water pipes, the copper pipes connected. It had broken. It had come loose. And that's what was causing the leak. So they fixed that, small job, nothing big, and it didn't cost me that much, man. It was like $157 or something like that. It wasn't that much. And see, thankfully, thankfully, thanks be to God, you know, the stimulus checks have come in, and I haven't blown through my stimulus check because I figure, you know, this is probably coming at the right time when I need it. So I'm gonna appreciate it, and I'm not gonna blow through it on a bunch of frivolous crap. I mean, I have spent money on things that I want, you know, certain interests, but I haven't totally blown through it. I haven't blown through it, man. I still got quite a bit of it, you know, saved up and everything like that. Which I think that's what everybody should do, man. You know, I think that's what everybody should do. But of course, you know, hey, it's your money. You do what you want to do. But I tend to be the kind of person, you know, if I get like a big check or something like that, I'm not gonna just gonna burn through it on something that I really don't want. You know, I'm not gonna go to Walmart and buy a freaking big screen TV, and then end up having to take it to the pawn shop maybe a week later. I'm going to try to save it up, man, because you never know. You know, it's good to have something stored away for a rainy day. You know, contingency, man. That's something I learned when I was in school. But, yeah, that's really about it. That's about the most exciting thing that's happened to me this week. Other than that, and I'm just glad that whole leak problem didn't cost me a whole lot of money. I'm just thankful to God for that, man, because it was in the back of my mind. I was like, oh, man, I wonder how much this is going to freaking cost. Like, man, can I really afford to do this right now? But I'm just glad that it wasn't that big of an issue. But that's about the only interesting thing that's happened thus far yet in my in my life this week, so nothing too bad. But yeah, today's episode, we're going to be talking about one of my favorite heavy metal bands, Twisted Sister. Yes, Twisted Sister, man, TS. I'm sure most of you listening right now know who Twisted Sister are, man. I'm pretty sure there's not much of an introduction that I need to make. Everybody knows the songs "We're Not Gonna Take It" and "I Wanna Rock." Everybody knows that. You don't have to be a metalhead or a huge rock fan to know those songs, because both of those songs pretty much transcended past just being a part of metal and hard rock. I mean, they're pop cultural songs, honestly, man. Because especially "We're Not Gonna Take It," you know, that song just, man, that song just became so dominated by radio. Even in today's era, man, when you hear a song, when you start to hear a song getting played at your local grocery store, that's when you know that that song is gone. It's out of here. There's no stopping it. And that's what "We're Not Gonna Take It" did. As you could say, "I Wanna Rock" did the same thing, but not like "We're Not Gonna Take It." So if you don't know anything else about Twisted Sister, I'm pretty sure most of you listening know "We're Not Gonna Take It" and "I Wanna Rock." But yeah, I wanted to do this episode. I wanted to rank their five studio albums that they did in the 80s, from 1982 to 1987. That's what I wanted to do, because I think most people don't really understand that Twisted Sister had a whole other history before Stay Hungry, and when they did "We're Not Gonna Take It" and "I Wanna Rock." There's a good documentary that Twisted Sister did about 5 years ago now called "We Are Effing Twisted Sister." You can find it on Amazon Prime. You can find it on Amazon Prime, Prime Video. If you're a Prime member, definitely go check it out. It's a really good documentary. It really covers the band's early years all the way up until just before Stay Hungry. But what I didn't know before I watched that documentary was that Twisted Sister had actually spent 10 years as a local club band in the New York tri-state area. I didn't know that. They had spent 10 years in the early 70s. J.J. French was the founding member. And Twisted Sister started out as more of like a glam rock band or glitter rock band, you know, kind of like David Bowie or the New York Dolls. That's how they kind of started. That's how they started out. And they had a fluctuating lineup, say, for J.J. French. And I think it was around 1975 when Eddie Ojeda, the lead guitarist, he joined the band, because him and J.J. French, they went to high school together. And then 76, Dee Snider joined the band as frontman. And that's when the band really started really taking off, is when Dee Snider joined. Because, I mean, Dee Snider's an awesome vocalist and an awesome frontman. He's just awesome, man. He has excellent showmanship. There's no denying about it. And, you know, there was a few more lineup changes. Then Mark Mendoza, he joined the band in 78. He was actually a member of the Dictators, a punk rock band from New York City. And he joined the band in 78. And I think it was in 1982. It was 1982, 2 months before they left to go over to England to record their first record, Under the Blade, that AJ Perro joined on drums, which that solidified the classic lineup. But yeah, I did not know that they had spent 10 years as a band trying to get signed. And man, Atlantic Records really hated the band. That was the one label in America that really hated them, was Atlantic Records. They hated them so bad that they told anybody that worked at the label that if they mentioned Twisted Sister, that they would be fired. You got to really hate a band, which I don't understand, because they were good, especially when Dee Snider joined and Eddie Ojeda, when that classic lineup really started to come together. They were really good, really good, man. Then Dee Snider started becoming the primary songwriter. Dee Snider wrote a lot of those hits, man. I don't know if any of you out there know. I'm pretty sure most of the metalheads and Twisted Sister fans know this, but he actually wrote the Stay Hungry album in like 45 minutes. He was at home. His wife, Suzette, she left to go to the store. And, you know, he was at home watching their baby. I guess it was their newborn baby at the time. And he took the opportunity and he like had the song titles written down, and he had a tape recorder and he started recording song ideas for the album. That's how he wrote the album in 45 minutes. I thought that was amazing. But yeah, you know, Twisted Sister, man, awesome band. And yeah, I think it's important that people know about the other records, especially the first two albums, Under the Blade and You Can't Stop Rock and Roll. Some very balls-to-wall heavy metal, man. Some raw, kind of punchy, in-your-face heavy metal. Real good records, man. Very raw and vicious, man. Just some excellent records. You know, Stay Hungry is really good, too, but definitely check out Under the Blade. You Can't Stop Rock and Roll. And then, of course, you know, Come Out and Play. Love Is for Suckers. You know, Come Out and Play. I think Come Out and Play is a solid record. I think it's a solid album. Love Is for Suckers, I really enjoy. Even though it's more on the more commercial pop metal vibe. But I just think it's important that people know about, you know, these other Twisted Sister albums and songs other than what we know so much of, which is We're Not Gonna Take It and I Wanna Rock. And also from Stay Hungry, you know, there was also a third single from that record called The Price, which was a more of a power ballad, which I think is one of the best power ballads in metal and definitely one of the best ballads that Twisted Sister has done. But yes, man, I definitely was trying to figure out what episode I was wanting to do next. I know it's been at least about a week since I done my last episode, but got on a Twisted Sister kick and I was like, you know what, why don't I just do one on Twisted Sister, man? You know, I really enjoy this band. They're one of my favorite rock and metal bands. You know, I remember liking this band when I was a kid, you know. They were always on, Dee Snider was always on VH1 and back in the 90s, and they used to always show their videos on VH1. And I even remember when Behind the Music used to still come on. I used to watch a lot of Behind the Music when it would come on. Even if I didn't know anything about the particular band or artist, I would watch Behind the Music because that's just how much of a music fan I am. And I remember watching that episode, that Behind the Music episode on Twisted Sister back in 2001 when it aired. I remember that. I remember it was a really interesting episode. And it's considered one of the best Behind the Music episodes. Because at the time, which J.J. French talks about on the Live at Wacken DVD, the interview. Well, not just J.J. French, but I think the other members too, that episode of Behind the Music really showed where the band was at the time, because they really weren't on speaking terms after the breakup and everything like that. So it showed a bit of that raw emotion that the band had. But of course, they ended up reuniting. And, you know, AJ Perro, he passed away back in 2015. And the band decided to call it quits as a live act. But J.J. French, he did allude into an interview I saw that it's a possibility that the surviving members could get back together and do something, which I hope, because I would really enjoy to see them live. Even though AJ Perro is not there, even though he's not with us anymore, it would still just be cool to see the surviving members get back together and do some stuff, man. But yeah, without further ado, this is episode 20, right? Yeah, this is episode 20 of the Boombox Guru. Another album's ranking the albums of Twisted Sister, 1982 to 1987. So don't touch that dial or don't click off that window, whatever you're using. Don't shut off your phone. Just stay tuned and keep it locked in. This is the Boombox Guru. All right. So for me, coming in at number 5 is Come Out and Play. This is Twisted Sister's 4th album, released in 1985. And if you ask most Twisted Sister fans, they will tell you that this album was the beginning of Twisted Sister's decline in popularity. There was 3 singles that was released from this album: Leader of the Pack, Be Cruel to Your School, and You Want What We Got. The first 2 singles, Leader of the Pack, that was a cover by a doo-wop female group back in the 50s or 60s called the Shangri-Las. And Be Cruel to Your School was a song that featured Alice Cooper. Now, anybody that's a long-time Twisted Sister fan knows that they actually covered Leader of the Pack on their Rough Cuts EP released back in 1982. And if I'm not mistaken, Leader of the Pack was also a song that they used to cover and play a lot during their club days during the 70s and early 80s before they got signed. So Leader of the Pack has a long history within Twisted Sister. But for whatever reason, back then in those days, before the band became a household name, before they became hugely successful, that cover worked. The version that's on the Rough Cuts EP, it works, but it didn't work so much when they re-recorded it and released it as a single for Come Out and Play, because the fans that they generated from You Can't Stop Rock and Roll and Stay Hungry, they didn't get it. They didn't understand it. They felt that the band was selling out at this point. So, yeah, it really wasn't a good idea for the record label to want them to record that song over again and release it as a single. And then Be Cruel to Your School. Now, I will say that Be Cruel to Your School, one thing that I do like about that song is how they take a more traditional old school rock and roll approach, as well as it including Alice Cooper on the track. But I gotta be honest with you, a lot of times when I listen to Be Cruel to Your School, it just sounds like it should be played on an after school special for kids. I mean, it just sounds like something that you would have heard the band playing on the Pee Wee Herman show or even on Sesame Street. That's just the way it sounds. It sounds like a song that was appealing to small children instead of the young adults and the teenagers that the band had attained with their previous records. Now, the third single, You Want What We Got, I feel that that song was more in vain of that classic Twisted Sister sound. So I don't really have no issues with that song. It wasn't that successful. There wasn't even a video shot for it. Now, as far as Be Cruel to Your School, there was a video shot for that, which, of course, it included appearances from Alice Cooper, who's on the song. Billy Joel makes a cameo in the video. Clarence Clemons and Brian Setzer, they all make cameo appearances in the video. And it continues that slapstick comedy that the band had on the previous videos for I Wanna Rock and We're Not Gonna Take It. But for whatever reason, MTV decided to ban the video from their station, from their network, saying that it was too offensive. And that caused a lot of the momentum of that song to really not take off. And in spite of everything, you know, the band with this record, the record label, because of the mass success that they had with Stay Hungry, the record label, of course, wanted them to repeat that same success. So they decided to try to keep that raw, heavy edge that they had on the previous records and blend it with that more commercial appeal that they were starting to head towards with Stay Hungry. And for the most part, I think it worked, not necessarily on the singles. Some of my favorite tracks on here, like Come Out and Play, the title song, which kicks off the album, a very fast, speed metal, raw, edgy song, more akin to the previous records. I Believe in Rock and Roll, which is a great rock anthem. The Fire Still Burns, which is a slower number, but it's still heavy with an anthemic vibe to it. And then you have Out on the Streets, which is a favorite of mine, because it sounds like it should belong in an 80s action film. Looking Out for Number One and Kill or Be Killed was a great ending to the record. Very fast paced, heavy track, more akin to that earlier Twisted Sister sound. And for the most part, man, I don't think Come Out and Play is a horrible record, but I do think that the record label made the wrong choice in the singles that they chose to lead the album off. And that's ultimately what helped to accelerate the band's decline in popularity. Okay, so the next album on my list at number four is Love Is for Suckers. This is the band's fifth album, released in 1987. And a little bit of a history behind this album: this was the last Twisted Sister album to feature original material, because all the records that came out afterwards were live albums, compilations. And then, of course, the last two Twisted Sister albums, Still Hungry and A Twisted Christmas, those are more like specialty albums, because Still Hungry was a re-recording of Stay Hungry, and of course A Twisted Christmas was a Christmas album. So this was the last official Twisted Sister album where they actually had original songs. And then another point about this record is that it was the first and only album not to feature AJ Perro on drums, as he actually left the band after the Come Out and Play tour in 1986, and he was replaced by drummer Joey Franco, who was he was a member of a band called the Good Rats from New York City. Those are one of the bands that played alongside Twisted Sister back in their club days. So he played, he replaced AJ Perro for this album. And there's also a bit of a controversy behind this record because Dee Snider has said in interviews that the music on this record was intended to be his first solo album, but the record label persuaded him to use the music for the next Twisted Sister album. But however, the album's producer, Bo Hill, he says that when he was brought in to work on the album, he was told that it was going to be a Twisted Sister album, that he never heard anything about it being intended to be Dee Snider's solo album. But whatever the case, I think Love Is For Suckers is one of Twisted Sister's best albums. It's more, the only thing I don't like about it, to some extent, not much, but it's more commercial sounding compared to the previous records. This record is mainly glam metal slash pop metal. I think it's more of that time, because I would say that 1987 was probably one of the peak years of glam metal slash pop metal. So the songwriting is more in that vein, but the songwriting is great. The songs on here, I feel, are way more consistent. I think the whole album is a lot more consistent than Come Out and Play. I don't really hear too much filler on this record. There may be a few songs that are kind of filler, such as maybe Me and the Boys. That's really about the only filler track that I can think of. But for the most part, every song on here is pretty killer, even though it's in the more of the pop metal vein. Some of my favorite tracks on here are Wake Up the Sleeping Giant, which kicks off the album. And that's one of the heavier numbers on the record, or very heavy album, and one of the best Twisted Sister songs that I think that they ever created. Then you have Love Is For Suckers, the title track, a very speed metal, fast-paced, heavy song. Really great. A really great song for the album. And then you have Tonight, another heavier number. One Bad Habit, which I like this song because it has more of a kind of that old school rock and roll appeal to it. It's got a horn section in the song. It's just got that old school rock and roll style to it. Then I'm So Hot For You, another great song on the record. And I even like the lead song from the album, Hot Love. I think that's a pretty good song as well. But for the most part, man, I think in retrospect, most Twisted Sister fans look at Love Is For Suckers in a lot greater light than they do Come Out and Play. Of course, at the time that it was released, a lot of people didn't like the record, but I think most people are looking back on it and seeing it as a really great album in their discography. It's an underrated gem. So, I mean, yeah, you might say that, okay, it's more glam and pop metal compared to the previous records, but my rebuttal to that will be that it's good glam and pop metal. And it is overshadowed. It is very underrated. And you got to understand, you know, 1987, a lot of big albums within that movement came out. You know, let's see, Def Leppard's Hysteria came out that year. I think Motley Crue's Girls came out. I can't think of, oh yeah, Whitesnake's self-titled album came out in 1987. A lot of big records came out that year that I would say also contributed to this record kind of being, getting lost in the shuffle, so to speak, man. And also, I thought I would point out that the producer, Bo Hill, he was also well known for producing Rat and bands like Winger. I think he might have produced for Kix. He was a producer that was well known in that glam metal, pop metal era. So the album definitely does have that approach. But like I said, in spite of all of that, it's a great album. It's good glam metal. It's good pop metal. All right, so at number three, I have Under the Blade. And this is the band's first album. This is their debut album released in 1982. Man, this right here, this is a balls-to-wall heavy metal album. I remember when I first heard this record, I was like, man, Twisted Sister is heavy. Because prior to me hearing this record, all I really knew for the band was Stay Hungry. But this is an awesome record. This is that raw, vicious, more aggressive, or if you want to say angrier, Twisted Sister, because you got to understand the band has spent 10 years slugging it out and paying their dues in the New York tri-state area club circuit. You know, record labels had been rejecting them, especially Atlantic Records, the label that they would eventually sign to. And, you know, it took a small independent label over in Europe, in the UK, to actually take a chance on them. And they produced this record, Under the Blade. Man, this is like I said, this is the balls-to-wall heavy record, man. A lot of heavy, fast-paced speed metal anthems on this album. And majority of the songs on this record remained concert staples up until the band decided to quit performing. So my favorite tracks on here are Under the Blade, a very fast number, a very brutal fast number, Tear It Loose, which what I like so much about this song is it features Fast Eddie Clark from Motorhead. He comes in and he gives an amazing guitar solo. Shoot 'Em Down, which is more of a hard rock number, but still a heavy one. There's actually two versions of this song. This version on Under the Blade and the version that was on the Rough Cuts EP. But I definitely like the Under the Blade version because it's just way more heavier. It's just a way more heavier hard rock track. And it's one of my favorite Twisted Sister songs. Bad Boys of Rock and Roll and What You Don't Know Sure Can Hurt You, which I believe that song has always been Twisted Sister's opening song when they perform live, because it has a really cool intro where Dee Snider's like, "Good evening and welcome to our show." But yeah, this is just an awesome album. Anybody that has any types of gripes about Twisted Sister, definitely go check out Under the Blade. This is a different type of Twisted Sister. And be sure that you check out the original version of Under the Blade or the Armory Records version, because there were two versions of this album that were released. When the band took off and became hugely successful after Stay Hungry, Atlantic Records reissued Under the Blade, but they remixed it. They remixed the album and they took away a lot of that raw heaviness and that punch that the original version has, and they kind of glossed it up and made it more, I guess, Americanized, if that's the best way to put it. But definitely check out the Armory Records version, which is a remastered version that has the original mix, but just a better sound. And that's the version I has, and it also comes with the Rough Cuts EP as bonus tracks, as well as one live song too. But yeah, Under the Blade at number 3, man, it's an awesome Twisted Sister record. It's one of my favorite Twisted Sister albums, and I listen to it on a daily basis. So coming in at number 2, we have You Can't Stop Rock and Roll, released in 1983. This was the band's second album, and this was also their first album on a major label when they finally got signed to Atlantic Records. Interesting story, though. It wasn't the American Atlantic Records that signed them. It was Atlantic Records in Europe. A guy who ran the Atlantic Records over there named Phil Carson actually signed them, because Twisted Sister could not get a deal in America. They had to go over to London and get their deal. That's really where they had more of their fan base. Well, they had fans in the New York tri-state area in America, but they had a cult following over there in the UK. But it's just crazy, man. Atlantic Records was probably the main label that really hated Twisted Sister. I mean, they hated Twisted Sister so much that they created a policy at the label that if anybody mentioned Twisted Sister in the building, that they would be fired. That's how much they hated the band. And the president at the time, Doug Morris, he had never even listened to the band or even seen them live. But in any case, they got signed to Atlantic Records through the European headquarters, and they released You Can't Stop Rock and Roll, which in my opinion is one of the band's best albums. I know a lot of people here in America say that You Can't Stop Rock and Roll was their introduction to the band, and it's actually their best selling album over in the UK. More people in the UK look at this is like the biggest album for them over in the UK. And some of my favorite songs from this record are Ride to Live, Live to Ride, which is a great biker anthem. Then you have The Power and the Glory, which that song right there, man, it is so like inspirational. And when I say inspirational, I don't mean like it's like a Christian contemporary song or anything like that, but It just has this vibe, this motivational energy. Like if you're feeling down and you listen to this sound, this song, it would definitely pick you up. It would definitely pick up your confidence and make you feel like you can just conquer the world. We're Gonna Make It, and as well as I'll Take You Alive. Just some awesome tracks. It pretty much retains the sound that the band had on Under the Blade, but this time around they have a lot more of a better production on here. It's better production, and I think the songwriting is a bit stronger too. But just a great record. And you know, the singles from the album, I Am, I'm Me, The Kids Are Back, You Can't Stop Rock and Roll. You Can't Stop Rock and Roll is one of Twisted Sister's signature songs. And the video for that song was actually one of the first heavy metal videos to get played on MTV back in the day. But yeah, You Can't Stop Rock and Roll, it's a great record. I had a hard time at first trying to decide, should I put Under the Blade over this one or You Can't Stop Rock and Roll? And after I went and listened to both records repeatedly, I decided that You Can't Stop Rock and Roll was a bit better, you know, better production, better songwriting. You know, I would say it was even a tad bit more heavier than Under the Blade in some parts, man. But definitely a great record that is one of Twisted Sister's. It's one of their magnum opuses, in my opinion, man. It's just a great record all around. Okay, so last but not least, coming in at number one is Stay Hungry. This is the third album by Twisted Sister, released in 1984. And we all know the singles from this record. We're Not Gonna Take It, I Wanna Rock, The Price. But those first two singles pretty much took a life of their own, especially We're Not Gonna Take It. I mean, that song became an anthem for so many grassroots organizations, so many causes. You know, politicians always want to use We're Not Gonna Take It during campaign cycles and election years. That particular song just took on a life of its own, to the point where, even though it's a great song, it's gotten to the point where it's one of those songs that you really wouldn't care if you never heard it again, you know, because it still gets played on classic radio, classic rock radio. I Wanna Rock, though, personally, for me, that song still, I don't know, I just don't get tired of that song. I can still listen to I Wanna Rock and jam out to it. I don't get tired of that song. I think it's because I Wanna Rock really wasn't as, even though it was a successful song, it didn't really take on that whole other life of its own like We're Not Gonna Take It. So to some degree, it hasn't been overexposed by radio. And it still holds some value. You know, if you listen to the song, it's still going to sound like, you're still going to get that same feeling like the first time you heard it. Now, some of my favorites outside of those singles from this album would be Burning Hell, which is one of the heaviest and most probably darker songs on the record, another fast paced number. Then you have Horataria, which is actually two songs put together as one. You have the more slower, almost doomy Captain Howdy, which Dee Snider played a character, Captain Howdy, in one of his first films years later called Strange Land. And then there's the more faster paced speed metal of Street Justice. Then there's Don't Let Me Down, SMF, which ends the album, which SMF, that's the name of Twisted Sister's fan base. I actually prefer the live version of SMF. I watched a show, a live concert that they did in 84 during this period, and when they played SMF, it was just so much more heavier and aggressive. And then The Price is a ballad, and it's also the third single from the record. I think it's one of the best power ballads in metal, and one of the best ballads that Twisted Sister ever done. You know, Dee Snider wrote the song after he was talking on the phone with J.J. French's sister while they was on the road, and she asked him how he was doing. And his response was, "Yeah, I'm doing okay, but you know, I'm really missing Suzette and the kids." And she told him, "Well, I guess it's just the price that you pay, you know, for fame." And that's what inspired him to write that song. And of course, I have I Wanna Rock on this record is one of my favorites, because like I said, anytime I hear that song, I just really enjoy it. I have not gotten tired of that song yet. But, you know, Stay Hungry, most people out here know Twisted Sister for this record. It's their biggest selling album. It catapulted them into superstardom. You know, it's their biggest selling album. And in America, it's their biggest selling album. It's not so much in the UK. Like I said, in the UK, You Can't Stop Rock and Roll is the big one for them. Or should I say in Europe in general, You Can't Stop Rock and Roll is the big one for them. But yeah, the reason why I picked Stay Hungry is number one. It's not necessarily because I think that it's better than You Can't Stop Rock and Roll or Under the Blade. But personally for me, this was my introduction to Twisted Sister. Because I remember growing up as a kid, you know, watching VH1 when it was actually a good channel and not a carbon copy of MTV. Twisted Sister was a mainstay on VH1 when I was growing up. Especially Dee Snider. Dee Snider was always on there doing interviews, being a part of some type of show. And the videos were not going to take and I Want to Rock. They always were getting played on that channel, especially on pop-up video. I can't tell you the many times I've seen We're Not Going to Take and I Want to Rock on pop-up video. But this was the record for me. And for a long time, I thought Stay Hungry was the only album that they made, because I never knew about the other albums until I got older, you know, years later. But yeah, if it wasn't for Stay Hungry, I wouldn't know who Twisted Sister was. And even though We're Not Gonna Take It has become way overplayed, and you can say the same thing about I Wanna Rock as well, even though I like that one more, you know, I wouldn't know who the band was. I wouldn't know who Twisted Sister is if it wasn't for that, man. But if you look past the two singles, We're Not Gonna Take It and I Wanna Rock, you actually have a really solid album. Stay Hungry is actually a really good record. It may not be as heavy and as raw as the previous two albums, because this was the record where they started to go in that more commercial approach. They started to take that more style, but it still got some really good rock numbers on here, man. And I think it's an album that is still, I think most people still enjoy this record no matter what. You know, in spite of those two huge singles being overplayed constantly, I think people still enjoy this record. And there's a lot of songs on here that people still like. You know, SMF is a huge anthem. They usually end, when they were still performing live, I think they would end their shows with SMF. And oh yeah, I forgot about the song called The Beast. That's another more slower, heavier number on this record as well. But yes, that's my list, my albums ranked of Twisted Sister. One of my favorite heavy metal bands. I hope you guys enjoyed this list. And if you're somebody that's not that familiar with Twisted Sister outside of like We're Not Gonna Take It and I Wanna Rock, like I always say, I recommend you to go and check out some of these other records and these other songs that the band have recorded over the years, because they're a great heavy metal band. I wish I could have got a chance to see them live, especially before AJ Pirro unfortunately passed away back in 2015. Since then, the band decided to call it quits as live performances, but they're still pretty active as far as the brand of Twisted Sister. But JJ French, I watched the interview that he did about 6 months ago, and he kind of alluded that, you know, there's a possibility that the band could get back together and do some things. I don't know if they're going to do another Twisted Sister name since AJ Pirro is no longer with us, but he did allude that there's a possibility that the remaining surviving members could get back together and do some things, you know, because he says that they're all still in contact with each other. They all still talk to each other. And of course, you know, Dee Snider, he released another solo album, was about 2018, 2019, called For the Love of Metal, which was really good. I need to get my hands on a physical copy, but it was a really good album. It was a lot heavier compared to the stuff he did with Twisted Sister, even, because Jamie Josta from Hatebreed actually produced the record. But yeah, definitely go check out that Dee Snider solo album, For the Love of Metal. It's really good. JJ French, who was the founding member of Twisted Sister, he actually has a podcast now called The French Connection. Mark Mendoza, he's still pretty active. I think he's got a band doing some things. I think he owns like a studio and stuff. Eddie Ojeda, I'm not so sure what Eddie Ojeda's doing. I know he's still active as a musician. I don't know what other endeavors he may have going on. And of course, you know, AJ Perro, he unfortunately passed away back in 2015. He had a heart attack in his sleep. The band decided to call it quits after they did a farewell tour, and they actually had Mike Portnoy, who was formerly of Dream Theater, they had him fill in and play drums for that tour. And I wish I could have been able to see them. I don't know if they came to my neck of the woods during that tour, but it would have been really good to see them live. I hope the band I hope they will do like a reunion or something with their surviving members and do a tour. Heck, I would even like to see Dee Snider solo. You know, I'm sure if he does a solo show, I'm sure he plays Twisted Sister songs. I mean, he wrote a good majority of these songs, if not all of them. He became the primary songwriter of Twisted Sister. So a lot of these songs, a lot of these hits, he wrote. So I'll even be down to see a solo Dee Snider tour, you know. But Twisted Sister, man, just an amazing band. And I think it's worth to mention that, you know, they were more than just a glam metal band. They don't even like that term glam metal. They were a balls to wall heavy metal band. Yeah, there are a few albums and a few songs that went to that more commercial pop metal, glam metal vibe. But at the end of the day, Twisted Sister was always a balls to walls heavy metal band. And much respect to them and the surviving members. RIP to AJ Perro. You know what I'm saying? SML for life. And that's my episode for today, this week. Hope everybody out there has a blessed week and keep doing what you do. Love, peace, and music. Be blessed, everybody. This is the Boombox Guru. What's good, everybody? Hope you enjoyed this new episode of the Boombox Guru. And if you did enjoy this episode, I want you guys to do me a favor. I want you to follow me on Spotify at The Boombox Guru. Check it out on Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Radio Public. You can also follow my Instagram page at The Boombox Guru. You can also like my page on Facebook, known as The Boombox Guru. Just go ahead and check me out. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell anybody that you know that might be interested in this type of content about The Boombox Guru. And as always, hope everyone has a lovely day and be blessed.